Interfaith Alliance affiliates are scattered across this nation from sea to shining sea. But unprecedented challenges to true religious freedom for all are inspiring new groups and individuals to join those ranks, as is the case with my next guest, Ross Keyes, who is the driving force behind organizing Interfaith Alliance of North Dakota. And I'm happy to have him with us to talk about the process, the motivation, and the goals of this enormous effort. Ross, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Thank you very much, Jack. It's an honor to be on here.
So tell me, what's been happening in North Dakota that made you think all the work involved in launching a new organization was justified?
Well, it's not the only organization I've launched recently, so it actually plays a very complementary role to something else I've been working on. Anyway, in the state, I've been involved with government and politics for over 30 years, and I simply noticed a change in the people in North Dakota. It's been pretty obvious. Some really good people being misled by some others who maybe didn't have their best interests at heart. And after I was out of government and political work, I got together with some other individuals who were interested in forming a state table. Part of that table was the creation of something called the North Dakota Voices Network, 501c3. And we pulled together a lot of different forward-thinking organizations in North Dakota to work with each other, try and get a message of compassion and acceptance back out there again. But in the back of my mind, I thought, who do people listen to? Who has the respect and a broad range that can really help with this messaging in North Dakota? And it came back time and again to faith leaders. And I decided, with the blessing of the folks of North Dakota Voices Network, I decided, well, I'm going to reach out and talk to as many forward-thinking faith leaders in North Dakota as I can, and that's led me to this.
You yourself don't identify quite so much as a person of faith, or at least with a formal religion. What made you decide to come at this from an interfaith angle and lift up the voices of faith?
But I knew that we needed to change hearts and minds across North Dakota. And in the past, in my work in government, I often would notice the efforts of Interfaith Alliance and other organizations, faith organizations, that we get together and maybe write letters to members of Congress and share that with national media on issues such as tax cut proposals at the national level or budget proposals, things that really impacted the poor. And these faith communities would make these very impressive statements on whether or not those proposals reflected the teachings and the compassion and acceptance that we want to share in North Dakota and across the country. So in the back of my head, I've been working with this organization. You never knew about it, but I've been taking the all of the things that you've been producing and using it in the past with people across the state of North Dakota. And it reached a point, as I'm out of that position now, creating this other North Dakota Voices Network. And if I want to change hearts and minds in the state, how do you best do it? It just all seemed to come together. Well, let's work with faith leaders. And even though I may not go to a church regularly, I'm constantly seeking spiritual guidance and answers to questions that I've had for years. And it all seems to fit.
So let's brag about the people who are involved with Interfaith Alliance a little bit. Tell us, who are the kinds of people you've been meeting with, and what's their reaction been?
I've got to say that my trips and my meetings with the faith leaders in North Dakota are nothing short of incredible. Every single one of them. The talent, the brilliance, compassion of these people blows me away every single time I meet with them. We are rich in the talent of faith leaders in North Dakota. We often get together. It's been kind of slow going because of COVID and North Dakota winters. What I try and do, because of my background, I really want to visit one-on-one with these folks so they can go, okay, yeah, I can trust you. I believe in what you're doing. So we'll get together over coffee, or for me, hot chocolate. And I'll explain, here's my background. here's what I'm about, here's what I'd like to do. Are you interested? And I'm batting 1,000. And I'm trying to reach as many forward-thinking faith leaders across the state as possible. You know, doesn't matter the religious background, and everyone is very, very excited to band together and make this work.
You've been able to promote values that are common to lots of different faith traditions and to people who don't profess a faith tradition. What are some of those values you think have been marginalized in public rhetoric in North Dakota, and how would you like to change that?
Well, some of the values, and we've seen some of this over the past legislative sessions, values of acceptance, social and economic justice are kind of driving forces in what we do with North Dakota Voices Network, and I believe in what we're going to be doing with the Interfaith Alliance. And we just want to help communities that may be under attack in some way, shape, or form across the state and reinstall, hey, this is what North Dakotans are really about. They're the ones that'll, you know, give you the shirt off their back. So get back to the compassion and acceptance that I've seen all of my life. And some folks just can get misled and drawn away from those goals, those teachings, and that's what we want to get back to.
Can you say something about your own background that has prepared you for this kind of work? You mentioned that you've worked with other organizations, you had some time in government. What brought you to this?
When I was in government, I was able to work with some really terrific people, and I'll name names here. Congressman Earl Pomeroy, Senator Kent Conrad, most recently Senator Heidi Heitkamp, and Senator Byron Dorgan, but just tremendous leaders who fought. Earl's motto for his reelection campaigns was helping people. It's as simple as that. Helping people.
Earl's a great guy. He spent not enough time in the House, but he was a terrific guy. He is a terrific guy.
Yeah. So dear friends, unbelievable talents, wonderful representation for the state of North Dakota, and their work every day is what I'm talking about here. Helping people. How can you help people? How can you work towards social and economic justice for folks that could use a hand up? And so it's been a long process, and along the way, there'd be some interaction with faith leaders and faith communities across the state, and it all just kind of led to this point in my life.
We were talking a little bit before this interview started about certain risks that you have to face as a left-leaning activist in a state that is pretty deep red much of the time. I know you've thought about what it means to deviate from the conservative narrative and what kinds of challenges it brings. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, well, you never know where you might get tripped up, or you may offend someone who doesn't believe in what you're doing. But the fact of the matter is, on issue after issue, I think North Dakotans agree with what we're trying to do. We'll be working on in the Voices Network child care effort going into the session to try and improve child care access and reliability in the profession itself going into this session in 2023. Fair housing, decent wages, paid medical leave. I think there are a lot of issues that North Dakotans, when they look at it, study it, actually there shouldn't be any concern because they're on the same page as where I'm coming from and where these faith leaders are coming from. But there are some who will react in a negative way, and we'll just have to work through it, you know, one step at a time. And I think that having the faith community helping express these positions, these concerns, will be very helpful in that process.
You know, so many of us who live on the two coasts, which is also where so much of the public media is located, think they know what goes on in the South and pay no attention to what goes on in the North. And it's refreshing to hear that there is, in a state like North Dakota, which is not as popularly dense as places like Texas or Florida, that there are these vibrant and compassionate conversations taking place
all over the state. It's been real fun meeting with these people and exploring these issues.
Wonderful. What would you say to someone who is sick of having their values, and particularly their religious values, made invisible by rhetoric that raises up only one version of faith in action as legitimate? What first steps would you recommend to someone who's thinking, hey, maybe I should try and do something about this too?
We need those connections. We need these people to reach out to maybe the faith leaders in their area. People who are interested in this, I'd love for them to reach out to me. The more the merrier. The stronger we can make this, the more corners of the state, the better. After the past number of years, one thing that I find is that it so many people are giving up. They don't know who to turn to. They can't see a way through this. We can't give up. We've got to continue to give people hope and bring the conversation back to values of compassion and acceptance. So reach out to me, reach out to the local faith leaders, reach out to friends who may be involved in efforts that are of the same interest as the person going through, you know, what do I do?
It's always so heartening to hear someone with passion be able to describe the power of one and the power of one plus one and then plus one and plus one. So your call to action is great. Now let's get down to specifics. Please say a few words about how people can support what you're doing and why they should.
Right now, we do not yet have social media up and running, but that is a very important step in the process for us. We're in the very early stages of pulling this all together. But if folks would like to get in touch with me to find out more about what we're doing, I encourage them to contact Interfaith Alliance in Washington, who could then get them in touch with me in North Dakota.
That's great. Interfaithalliance.org, or you can send an email to info@interfaithalliance.org, and someone will be back in touch with you and connect you with Ross in North Dakota. Ross Keyes is working to launch Interfaith Alliance of North Dakota, protecting true religious freedom for all. Ross, please let me wish you good luck with this enormous undertaking and good mileage on your car. And thanks very much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure and a real honor to meet you, Jack. And I really appreciate the support of National Interfaith Alliance, as well as some of the state interfaith alliances that I've spoken with. So thank you so much.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, go team. I'm Jack Moline. That's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.